This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great Friday when we are looking for sources of national unity. Yeah, that's actually going to be a theme today. One of the sources of national unity should be a national anthem. But people are saying, well, the Star Spangled Banner, it's just too divisive. It has some lyrics in the third verse that nobody sings that bother some people. So they want a replacement national anthem. What should it be? Is Lean on Me the answer? That's what the Los Angeles Times seems to say. We will cover that issue and take your nominations. We will also look for national unity and victories for common sense. And there is one today from the Department of Defense, and there's even one from the Smithsonian Institution. We will get to that rapidly on the Michael Medved Show. And speaking of national unity, there's a new movie out there. It's available today on lots of streaming platforms that is just flat out wonderful. And I think will actually unify Americans in appreciation of this film, which is patriotic in the best sense and historical and inspiring. And which one is it? Well, we have four different movies, not all of them that great, that we are going to be covering with you in a very busy show. 1-800-955-1776. We'll also be speaking with Rich Lowry, editor of National Review, about Joe Biden's apparent strategy. Can it work? And to Doug Schoen, former pollster for the Clintons, who says everybody missed something this week, which is primary results which show gaining strength for Donald Trump. And we'll speak to Steve Moore, the financial advisor to the President of the United States. He's with FreedomWorks and Heritage Foundation. And right now he's talking about infrastructure. Hasn't President Trump been talking about that for years and not getting a lot done? We'll get to that and more with Stephen Moore later in the show. First off, I mentioned some victories for common sense. And there's a gigantic victory for common sense from Mark Esper, who, by the way, I think has done a pretty darn good job as defense secretary for the President of the United States. After weeks of wrangling, the Hill reports, the Pentagon is banning displays of the Confederate flag on military installations. And a carefully worded policy that doesn't mention the word ban or that specific flag. So how does this thing work? Well, this thing works, the way this thing works, and it's fascinating, the Associated Press story about the Pentagon decision makes the point, as does the coverage in the Hill newspaper, that look, Esper had a problem here. The Marine Corps has already banned the Confederate flag. If you talk to officers in the Army, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, General Milley, and you talk to people in the military, of course you don't want the Confederate flag on bases or on military property. It's a divisive symbol. Now, you may not agree that it's a symbol of hate or racism or secession or insurrection, but it is all those things. But it's divisive. And you don't want it on a military installation. So what did they do? Where did they go? And what they did, and I think it's very intelligent, is basically just limit the flags that can be displayed. They make the point, we must remain focused on what unifies us, our sworn oath to the Constitution and our shared duty to defend the nation, Esper's memo states. The flags we fly must accord with the military imperatives of good order and discipline, treating all our people with dignity and respect, and rejecting divisive symbols. And this gets into a question, okay, if you're going to ban the Confederate flag, what do you do about the rainbow flag, the LGBTQ flag? Or what do you do about a flag that says, Make America Great Again? Do you display those? Well, the answer is no, because what this policy does is it simply says no flags will be displayed except for these. Acceptable flags listed in the memorandum include Old Glory, the United States flag, any state flag. So, and by the way, that's not a problem with the Confederate flag anymore, because Mississippi is changing its flag to get that Confederate banner off it. And a number of other states have done the same thing. You can show the U.S. flag, you can show state banners, you can show the flags of other allies and partners. For instance, on military bases, they have trainees. Some of those trainees are from Saudi Arabia. If they want to display a Saudi Arabian flag, I guess that's okay under the new policy. And you can also display the widely displayed POW MIA flag and other military and official military unit flags. So all of that is fine. But what you can't display is the rainbow flag for gay rights or the Make America Great Again flag, if you want to make that, or for that matter, the Confederate flag. And why should the Confederate flag be left out? Because, first of all, the Confederacy doesn't exist. And what you're giving tribute to is one of the worst decisions in the history of humanity. In other words, I know I have a friend who described the lockdown policy as the worst decision in the history of humanity. The worst decision in the history of humanity was the decision to secede, which was a decision that was made entirely by Southerners. Their hand was not forced in any way. They made that decision to make war on the United States, to fire on Fort Sumter, to declare war effectively against the United States of America, and to try to destroy our republic. And in the process, the suffering that the South experienced was profound. I mean, just in death and destruction. In any event, the flag's not going to be displayed on military bases. And General Milley, who is defending this decision, of course, he said that the Confederacy was an act of rebellion. Well, of course, they were called themselves the rebels. The idea was Johnny Reb versus Billy Yank. It was an act of treason, says General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, at the time against the Union, against the Stars and Stripes, against the U.S. Constitution. And those officers turned their back on their oath. He is entirely correct. Now, what he was talking about at that point was not the flag, but talking about the names of bases. And part of what they were going through here, the reason they didn't specifically ban the Confederate flag, and I think it's very smart, is I think Esper didn't want to get fired by President Trump. He still may be, by the way. But Trump has said he's all for the Confederate flag. You may remember he criticized NASCAR because they didn't want to display the Confederate flag at NASCAR. He says this is a question of freedom of speech. But I'll tell you the one thing that somebody has to explain to the president is that freedom of speech has never applied to the military. The military of the United States, once you take that oath, once you put on that uniform, you do not have freedom of speech. You can't. You can't use your military background resources, your military facilities, for political campaigning, for instance, or campaigning for any political or pseudo-political cause. And so the idea that we're not going to have rainbow flags anywhere in military bases, and we're not going to have Confederate flags or any other extraneous flags, it seems to me that is a good thing and a major victory for common sense. The other victory for common sense involves something we've been discussing in some intensity, which is the Smithsonian Institution and the National Museum for African American History and Culture, which put out that awful, awful project on whiteness. Well, they have a statement issued today. We have listened to public sentiment. So what does that mean? It should mean withdrawing the whole damn thing. It doesn't, but we'll tell you what it does mean. We'll also be speaking to Rich Lowry about the Biden strategy, which is really a non-strategy. coming up on the MedVet Show.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Rovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 at AmericanFederal.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
According to the memo from the Secretary of Defense, the Right Honorable Mike Esper, and by the way, again, this is one of the toughest jobs and most important jobs in the world, and I think that Secretary Esper deserves some credit there. According to his memo, the display of, such as the Confederate banner carried during the Civil War, is acceptable in historical exhibits. In other words, it's not like if you see this, if there's a diorama of Gettysburg, for instance, and of course there's a famous diorama of Gettysburg on the battlefield, of course it's going to include Confederate flags because they were there. They were part of the actual history. That's not banned. What's banned is displaying the flag on barracks or anywhere where it is given some kind of equal status or comparable status to the authorized banners, which include the U.S. and state flags, flags of other allies and partners, and the widely displayed POW/MIA flag and official military unit flags. No official military unit is characterized as the fighting rebels. Okay. This brings us to, I mentioned the Smithsonian Institution, because the fine museum that was recently opened, it was opened in 2017, and it's the National Museum of African American History and Culture. And it's a big, ambitious, well-done project, and they had just issued something that was just flat-out embarrassing, which is a new project on whiteness. Now, is there enough attention to the history of white America? I think there is. What there isn't, and the reason they issued this whole scathing thing about whiteness, is most of the stuff about the European heritage of the United States is, I think, fairly benign. It's positive. But it's not inaccurate. It's out there. And people can see the history and the positive history and the negative history. There's plenty of attention to the history of people who are white. The reason that the African American Museum of History and Culture was built on the Mall in Washington, D.C., was to try to say, hey, wait a minute. We have this other group of people who have been here since 1619, as everybody now knows. And that group of people have been very much a big part of American history. So it's insane that they took on this project of whiteness anyway, but they did. And they now have a post. They said, we have listened to public sentiment and have removed a chart that does not contribute to the productive discussion we had intended. The site's intent and purpose are to foster and cultivate conversations that are respectful and constructive and provide increased understanding. Okay, getting rid of the chart is a good first step. You've got to get rid of the whole damn thing. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. What the chart had said is it had a chart, a list of characteristics of whiteness with little illustrations. And they treated as characteristics of whiteness an emphasis on hard work, deferred gratification, punctuality, careful use of your time. A whole series of characteristics that I guarantee you most of the grandparents and great-grandparents of African-American people also believed in, that are fundamental to our culture. And the idea right now that they are keeping things up at their website, they've removed the chart, that's good. They have something else up there that is ridiculous. They say part of white privilege is if you're white, it's easy for you to live your entire life and organize your entire day seeing only white people. Okay, not only is it not easy, it's not legal. Because we have civil rights laws. If you are running a business and you say, I want only white employees, sorry, you can't do that. Now, you may be in a situation where you don't have applicants, but if there's someone who applies and is qualified and you turn that person down simply because you want to be surrounded only by white people, you're in trouble. And by the way, those civil rights laws are supported by well upwards, way above 95% of the American public. For goodness sake, how insane is it? Is how many people out there really, really, really live your lives with no contact with any people of color? You never see any Asians. You never see any African Americans. You never see any Latino people. Are you kidding me? What planet are they living on? And It's offensive and it's ridiculous. And I'll tell you also ridiculous was the definition of white supremacy provided on CNN by W. Kamau Bell. And why Mr. Bell, who's basically a comedian, has now become an expert on white supremacy, I don't really know. But here is how he defines white supremacy on CNN with Allison Camerata. Listen.
You're beginning to look at what every American needs to know about white supremacy. Where do you begin with something like that?
I mean, I think we, with the show, we understand that we have to actually define the terms for the viewer in ways that we're going to be using them through the episode. So very early in the episode, we define, as Jim was referring to, what white supremacy is and how we see it. I think a lot of people believe white supremacy is just when a white person doesn't like a black person, but that's just prejudice. In America, white supremacy is a system that promotes whiteness and white maleness specifically and white Christian maleness specifically over everyone else. And so we really want to talk about, like, it's blockbusting, it's redlining, but it's also just people who feel like they have no responsibility for racism in this country because they never personally owned slaves. So we try to go, we have a list early in the episode that goes through the entire, not the entire thing, but multiple levels of white supremacy. So we can understand it's not just a feeling, it's actually a measurable force in America.
Okay, it's a measurable force in America to support white maleness. Are you kidding me? Really? And this idea is that he's suggesting, in effect, that people who don't acknowledge their participation in a series of white supremacist ideas and institutions are by definition white supremacists. In other words, rock star Greg Tomlin made the very good point that with what Kamau Bell is saying there, he's saying, okay, if you come right out and say I'm a white supremacist, you're a white supremacist. And if you say I'm not a white supremacist, you're a white supremacist. I mean, it's very similar to the situation during the Salem witch trials, as Greg points out, when they said if you say you're a witch, okay, you're guilty. If you say you're not a witch, well, that proves that you're a witch. I mean, the idea of this obsession by people of color with defining whiteness is one of those things that I think the American people, black and white, are going to overwhelmingly reject. So is Joe Biden have anything to say about any of this? What is going on with that campaign? We'll talk to Rich Lowry, the editor of National Review, coming up on the MedVed Show.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from AmeriCare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. AmeriCare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Three men charged in the murder of Ahmed Aubrey are pleading not guilty. Gregory and Travis McMichael, along with William Bryan, all entered their pleas this morning virtually in a Georgia courtroom. Bryan's attorneys also filed a motion for potential jurors to be asked certain questions in an attempt to get rid of biases they may have in the case. The 25-year-old Aubrey died on February 23rd in the southeast Georgia town of Brunswick, when his family says he was out for a jog. The McMichaels, who are father and son, chased Aubrey because they suspected he was burglarizing neighborhood homes. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg said Friday she's recovering from chemotherapy for a reoccurrence of cancer, but has no plans to retire from the Supreme Court. The 87-year-old Ginsburg did spend time in a hospital this week for an infection. This is USA Radio News.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. And log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Rich Lowry is one of the sharpest minds out there on the conservative side of things. He is the editor of National Review, which is an august position once held, of course, by the great William F. Buckley. And Rich has been considering some of the strategy of the Biden campaign. Why? Because he wants to give advice to Joe Biden? No, because if President Trump is going to succeed against Joe Biden, he's going to have to respond to that strategy. Rich, what has Joe Biden been doing that has helped him gain this advantage in the polls that everybody talks about?
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I know it's a little odd to think of Joe Biden doing anything because it is a somewhat inert campaign. He's not out there every day. But the key insight
he's
he had
mask
from
on, though.
The beginning. What's that?
He's got that mask on, though.
He does. He does have. He is masked. The key insight he had at the beginning of the process, which I was doubtful of, was just that the center of gravity of actual Democratic voters was still, as Biden called it, Obama-Biden Democrats. So it wasn't woke Twitter. It wasn't Bernie Bros. It was still sensible Democrats. With African-American voters, especially older African-American voters, making up a substantial portion of that. So I was like, okay, you know, if you say so. But that turned out to be a correct theory of the primary, and he won the nomination battle without he slid to the left, but he hasn't created any huge political vulnerabilities by endorsing Medicare for All during the primaries or in the last several weeks. He hasn't endorsed defunding the police. He hasn't endorsed tearing down statues of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. So you have this guy who his MO his whole career is to be smack dab in the middle of wherever the consensus of the Democratic Party is, and that's further left than it's ever been. But he's not on the extreme edge. So it's going to be hard for Trump to find obvious things to shoot at, and it's going to take some work to to try to take him down a notch.
He seems to be trying with some of his speeches. He had a big speech about climate change. He had a big speech about his economic policy to be laying out proposals, an agenda for his term. But he hasn't gone that far with any of it, has he?
Well, I mean, it's all relative. So it's far compared to anything else. I think rationally considered, it's far. But climate is a good example. I think his plan now is a little more aggressive than it was in the primaries. I forget what the date is. I think 2035, we're supposedly going to have carbon-free electricity. But on the other side of the ledger, he said we're not going to ban fracking. So that banning fracking would just be a killer, you know, in Pennsylvania, Texas, other states. So he's avoided kind of the worst excesses that would be easiest for our side to shoot at. But there's no doubt this is the most progressive candidate, you know, in our lifetimes. And there's no doubt that if he's elected, it's going to be, you know, the likes of Elizabeth Warren, filling out the substance. His demeanor is not wild-eyed. People have known him for a long time. That they haven't hated him the way they have Hillary Clinton for decades. So he's going to be and has been a tricky opponent so far for Trump.
So what should Trump do to focus on Joe Biden's vulnerabilities? One thing he's done is talk about his frailty and imply that Joe Biden is senile. Do you think that's a successful strategy?
I don't think he gets anything from that. Clearly, Biden has lost a step in some instances in a way that's been disturbing. I would worry about Biden making it through 4 years of the presidency, but that's not the kind of thing you convince anyone of by saying it. They either got to look at Biden and conclude that themselves or not. And so far, people haven't. There's also a problem that it creates a really low bar for the debates in the fall. You know, if Biden just can string together mostly coherent sentences, which he did, you know, mostly in the Democratic debates, also, although he had some really rocky moments, you've just created an easy bar for him to clear. So I don't think that's going to get Trump much.
So what does work for Trump?
Well, one, he needs to be more disciplined himself. The kind of rambling press conference he had the other day at the White House, there's material there against Biden on energy, on school choice, on spending and taxes. But you gotta hone in on it, you know, and have a plan every 2 or 3 days. This is my message about Biden, and this is what I'm going to draw out about him, and then hope to kind of wear him down a little bit that way. The Wall Street Journal NBC poll this week, which, you know, had about a 10-point race in Biden's favor, did show Biden's ratings personally really aren't that much better than Trump's. You know, he's underwater as well. So it's not as though Biden is this giant bestriding the earth. He's just avoided some obvious pitfalls and stayed out of the way while Trump's had a really tough 3 or 4 months.
The Wall Street Journal has an editorial today, and this is not a column, it's an editorial from the newspaper, suggesting that President Trump's administration stopped making war on Anthony Fauci. Would you agree that that is an extremely ill-advised strategy for the campaign?
Yeah, I see no upside in it. Anthony Fauci, agree or disagree with him, and he's gotten things wrong about this virus, as many, many people have. He's not president of the United States. Trump is welcome to take his advice or reject his advice as he wants. So Fauci's kind of beside the point. And I think the president initially, you know, he downplayed the virus in a way he shouldn't have, and he's still trying to do that now, when it'd be much better to say, and there have been a lot of shrewd and adept things his administration has done to actually handle the virus, to highlight those things and say, look, we're going to lick this thing and then do the most we can to open schools and make sure the economy is back on a sound footing. You know, that's an approach I think most people would find inherently appealing, but just saying it's just going to go away just strikes people as denialism, and I think that's one reason that his ratings have been so incredibly low on handling COVID. It's just a bad thing for an incumbent president to not be trusted by people to handle a crisis, and his challenger to have much higher ratings on leadership qualities and handling crisis. That's a flashing red light.
Okay, last question. We've got about a minute to answer. I have a lot of callers who've called in and said, look, the polls are just wrong because there's so many shy Trump voters. There are people who are really for Trump and saying, sock it to him, but they won't tell that to pollsters. Oh, to which, what do you say, Rich Lowry?
I think there's something to that. There's clearly something to that, and I would never discount that after what happened in 2016. I was talking to someone in the Trump political operation just yesterday about the polls, and a point he makes is, one, a lot of these polls are doing registered voters, not likely voters. Once you hone it down to likely voters, that's going to bump Trump up some. The partisan balance of some of these polls is kind of skewed, and there are people who are just not going to tell anyone that they're supporting Trump. So all that's true, but he also said he's behind. He's clearly behind. You know, whether it's 14 points, 10 points, or 5 points, He's behind and should be, you know, running a little scared. And I don't have enough insight into whether Brad Parscale deserved to go as campaign manager and how good Bill Stepien and his replacement is going to be. But at least that spoke to an awareness that this trajectory is not a good one for the president and has to change. But of course, the most important changes are just ones he has to do himself and can't be done for him.
Absolutely. And for instance, emphasizing an agenda for a second term that isn't just more of the same. There needs to be an optimistic agenda for keeping America great. That's Rich Lowry of National Review. His information is posted on our website at michaelmedved.com. Rich, always a great pleasure speaking with you. When we come back, more on race baiting. Coming up. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. Okay, I will admit it. I love good movies, especially now when you're holed up at home. Don't some of you with families want to introduce your kids to some of the movies that meant the most to you? Wouldn't it be great to have a service that actually allows you to block out maybe some language you don't want to hear or some intensely graphic sex or violent scenes? Well, that service is called ClearPlay. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, ClearPlay settings enable you to watch the movie without violence, profanity, or other content that you choose. Customization is all based on viewers' personal settings. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. Try, for instance, that great baseball movie and father and son movie, Field of Dreams, with just some of the unnecessary harsh language. Go to ClearPlay.com to learn more. ClearPlay loves good movies.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey, self-reliance gardeners. Now that you've got your crisis garden planted, the next step is to make sure all your vegetables are going to grow like crazy the rest of the summer. For that, you'll need an all-natural, full-spectrum plant food that works to not only maximize nutritional uptake for you and your family, but is also guaranteed to make your fruits and vegetables actually taste better. The name of the product is ProtoGrow, a proprietary blend of bioactive superfoods for plants designed to produce rapid plant growth in record time, so much so that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. It does this by combining powerful trace elements and micronutrients from seaweed extracts with a balanced blend of macronutrients from cold water fish. The result? Vegetables grow faster than ever because they now have the essential bioavailable nutrients they need. Go to growlikecrazy.com to learn more. Huge summer discounts now available. growlikecrazy.com.
Michael Medved show, there is a great concern at keeping up the momentum that at least that they believe they have on the left, keeping up the momentum that they have gathered since the tragic killing of George Floyd. And what you're hearing about here is sort of pulling at straws to try to keep up that momentum. Now, there have been some changes in America. It's a change that was announced today by the Pentagon that on no U.S. military facilities are they going to authorize the display of the Confederate flag or any other flag that isn't specifically authorized and doesn't represent one of the states or the federal government or a specific military unit. But the sense of keeping momentum on this massive effort to try to indict America with ancestral guilt, which is so counterproductive. In other words, I do not understand how there's a belief that any problem that we face as a country will get better by making people ashamed to be Americans. I don't get that. But you keep hearing it, and you keep hearing it, and you keep hearing it. And there was actually a very good response by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who attacked the New York Times 1619 Project, which is a whole attempt to indict America. And the Secretary of State gave a speech at the State Department. The remarks were part of an unveiling of a new draft report by the Commission on Unalienable Rights. I haven't seen the whole report yet, but this sounds right. Listen.
The New York Times, 1619 Project, so named for the year that the first slaves were transported to America, wants you to believe that our country was founded for human bondage. They want you to believe that America's institutions continue to reflect the country's acceptance of slavery at our founding. They want you to believe that Marxist ideology, that America is only the oppressors and the oppressed. The Chinese Communist Party must be gleeful when they see the New York Times spout this ideology. Some people have taken these false doctrines to heart. The rioters pulling down statues thus see nothing wrong with desecrating monuments to those who fought for our unalienable rights, from our founding to the present day. This is a dark vision of America's birth. I reject it. It's a disturbed reading of our history. It is a slander on our great people.
And I think the overwhelming majority of Americans will agree with Secretary Pompeo. When he was talking about trashing the monuments of people who have sacrificed everything for our liberty and for American liberty. I was thinking particularly about the St. Gaudens on Boston Commons. There's a great big monument in Boston to Colonel Shaw. It's the monument was called Colonel Shaw and his Negro Regiment. That was at a time when Negro was considered a polite way of referring to African Americans, the black people. This is the story that is told in the great movie Glory, which, by the way, is a wonderful film, and if you haven't seen it, you should. It's a story of a volunteer regiment in Massachusetts that was recruited largely from ex-slaves, escaped slaves, who fought for the Union. And yes, they were commanded by a white guy, a dedicated and idealistic abolitionist who died leading his troops in combat. That's Colonel Matthew Gould Shaw and Robert Gould Shaw, pardon me. And the reality of this monument being trashed because the monument, the sculpture, showed the commander riding at the head of his troops, and the commander was white and the troops were black. I mean, this is trashing people who gave their lives and who fought heroically at Fortress Monroe. And it's just wrong. And so much of what goes on here is trying to associate whoever you disagree with the most extreme forces in America, like the KKK. Is President Trump's base really the KKK? Does anyone really believe that? Tiffany D. Cross, who is from The Beat, was on The View. And she reacted to Trump saying in a CBS interview that more whites are killed than blacks by law enforcement. Listen.
I'm so tired of this president spitting in our face and trying to convince us it's raining. That is clear BS, and anybody with any ounce of historical perspective would know that. When I think of the families of Tamir Rice, of Trayvon Martin, of Philando Castile, of Terrence Crutcher, of Ahmaud Arbery, of Rashard Brooks, of George Floyd, of Breonna Taylor, of Sandra Bland, and on and on and on, and I think of the horrific brutality that black people have suffered at the hands of law enforcement, I wonder what will possess a president to say something like that, and it's really because he's tossing red meat to his clan-like base that he needs so desperately to win in November. And I think even posing the question, right, were he a reader, I would encourage him to buy a copy of my book because I write about how law enforcement swelled their ranks through white supremacy at the early part of last century. And so when you look at it through a historical perspective, asking the question can feel disrespectful because we know that there's a systemic racism in law enforcement. So I wouldn't debate that issue any more than I would debate a fool on if lemons are yellow. We know that. The answer, the question is, what right. Do you plan to do about it? And he's consistently answered that by saying nothing.
Okay, we know what the reality is. We know the question. We know the answers. The truth of the matter is, and I think everybody knows this by now, it is true that literally more whites are killed in confrontations with police than blacks. The black deaths get a great deal more publicity. And by the way, because blacks are a much smaller percentage of the population, blacks are more likely to be killed by police. But it's the same thing as saying, I point this out all the time, when people say America has a poverty problem, they're right, we do. But there are more whites who live in poverty than blacks. That's the truth. Now, blacks are more likely to live in poverty. But what President Trump said, well, Kayleigh McEnany, the White House press secretary, defended that in a recent White House press conference. And listen to how she handled it.
The president has routinely acknowledged and expressed the absolute atrocity of the case of George Floyd, and his heart goes out to that family still. He was noting a fact that there were, when you look at unarmed killings with police interactions in this country, that you had 9 unarmed black individuals who were fatally shot and 19 unarmed white individuals. That's down from 38 and 32 respectively in 2015. So the numbers have actually come down since the Obama administration. who's making that point. But one point he wants to strongly make is this, that black men and women who die of homicide, they are likely to die of homicide at 8 times greater than that of white individuals and Hispanics combined. That's the rate combined. So that's an extraordinary thing that we want to look at. I've listed for you the names of these kids who have died across this country. It is unacceptable. And under this president, he'll take action. And the derelict mayor of Chicago should step up and ask for federal help because she's doing a very poor job at securing her streets.
Okay. She's talking about Mayor Lori Lightfoot, who responded, and responded in a very strange way in this context. And by the way, the numbers are incredible. The Chicago Tribune just reported that there are 1,901 people in Chicago who have been injured or killed in shooting so far this year. That's 550 more than at the same point last year. So you have like two a day more. You have a total of 10 people who are killed or injured every bloody day in Chicago. And what the response from the mayor was, "Hey, Karen, watch your mouth." And you may say that, well, her name is Kaylee, not Karen. Karen is a new term we're all supposed to learn. It's supposed to mean a privileged white woman, I guess usually blonde, as Kaylee McEnany is. And a Karen is someone who just uses her white privilege and is at core a racist, like that woman in Central Park who called the cops on the bird watcher and said a black male is assaulting me. Is that what Kaylee McEnany was doing? And does that answer the fact that Lori Lightfoot has a crisis in Chicago that has nothing to do with police violence? It has everything to do with citizen violence? We will get to these issues and much more. And an American city, you'll never guess which one, that is declaring a public health emergency of racism. Yeah, that too. We'll also be speaking about an infrastructure plan to rejuvenate the economy and more in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.